Investment flash.
Stocks are surging. Oil is tumbling, all because of that U.S.-Iran peace deal. But is this rally for real? Or is oil telling us something else? Let's get into it.
Welcome to Investment Flash, New York edition, for Monday, June 15th. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald. And Tom, you sound fired up already.
Marie, it's risk on everywhere you look. S&P futures up, China up, emerging markets up, the Strait of Hormuz is reopening. That takes a huge supply disruption premium off the table.
Yeah, look, the initial pop makes sense, but let's not get carried away. The S&P 500 was only up 0.5% last session. Markets priced some of this before the weekend. The real question is follow-through.
Gerald's not wrong, Tom. And there's a live warning from CoinDesk. Crypto isn't buying this risk bid. Bitcoin barely budged. If the true risk-on sentiment isn't in crypto, maybe this equity move is fragile.
Crypto being skeptical is just crypto being crypto lately. But the China large cap ETF jumped 1.1% last session, and it's still down 11% year to date. There's room to run if this geopolitical tailwind holds.
Sure, China's cheap on paper, but you're betting the deal doesn't unravel. And given the region's history, I'd want a wider margin of safety.
Exactly. The Nikkei Asia piece is the one that gets me. They're saying energy prices stay elevated for months, maybe a year. So the core inflation driver isn't going away. That's a headwind for Asian importers.
Okay, but the flip side is lower input costs for everyone else. Corn and wheat futures dropped. Agriculture inputs are easing. That's good for food inflation, good for consumers.
Right, but the U.S. oil fund is down 2.6% last session, 7.2% on the week, and yet it's still up 81% year to date. The speculative froth is coming off, but Nikkei's right. Physical supply doesn't flip overnight. I'd fade the oil short.
Wait, you're fading the oil sell-off? The same oil that's down almost 20% from its peak? Gerald, you normally hate momentum trades.
Yeah, look, I'm not a chartist, but when everyone's on one side of the boat, the Nikkei angle is smart. Stickiness in energy prices means the crowded short could reverse hard.
Gerald's crowded short warning is basically a perma-bear's version of buy the dip. But I get it. Meanwhile, the copper ETF is up 1.6% last session, near highs. That's the growth trade, right?
Huh, fair.
Oh, that's brutal. But aluminum's down to a 2-month low on Gulf supplies resuming. So the base metals are diverging. Copper for demand optimism, aluminum for supply relief. Are we looking at a pair trade?
Long copper, short aluminium. It's almost too neat. But the story suggests it's a direct Hormuz effect. I'd want to see if Chinese property demand picks up before getting too bullish on copper.
Okay, but the growth story is broader. Even Singapore is pushing into gold. They're launching a clearing and storage system to rival London. The gold ETF is down on the week, could be an entry if structural flows materialize.
Wait, Singapore launching a gold hub? That's a big deal. But gold is down 2.9% this year. The safe haven can't catch a bid even with a Middle East war. That's weird.
Exactly. The market's telling you it's a recovery play, not a fear trade. The S&P 500 is up 8.6% year to date. Gold's paradox. It's cheap as a hedge, but no one wants it.
It really is. The market's broken in a weird way.
So you're saying buy gold because it's cheap. Gerald, you sound like a value trap enthusiast.
Tom, remember when you said semis were cooked in Q2? I'm just saying, if the peace deal cracks, gold's the only thing that rallies. But until then, equities are king.
Ha, fair.
Speaking of equities, Renault and Thales teaming up for a tactical military vehicle. Renault shares surged 5.8% last session. Gerald, you're a Europe guy. What's the story?
Yeah, look. Renault at 4x forward earnings and 0.39 price to book, it's cheap. The defense angle gives it a new narrative. But Thales didn't move, so the market's saying it's more about Renault diversifying.
Right. And the aerospace and defense ETF was flat. So this isn't a sector-wide trend yet. But if automakers start pivoting to defense contracts, that could re-rate some of these beaten-down European auto names.
I like it. And speaking of beaten down, Alibaba's eyeing that grocery delivery platform Poopoo to take on Meituan. Alibaba shares are 41% below their high. Mergers and acquisitions could be a catalyst.
Hold on, isn't there a regulatory warning about price wars in that space? If they acquire Poopoo and start undercutting, the government might step in. That's a real overhang.
All right, so it's a risky bet. Meituan's also down, but they're the dominant player. I'd hold for now.
Fair enough, but here's what I know you'll like, Gerald. Long-duration treasuries. The long treasury ETF was up 1.4% on the week, near 52-week lows. The bond market's been hammered.
Yeah, look, the bond market's a mess. Eurozone yields fell after the Iran deal, dragging US yields down. But Kevin Warsh inheriting a rates mountain breakdown, that's not a smooth ride lower. Volatility's coming.
And strategists say stocks could go crazy if Warsh signals looser policy. So this is a coiled spring either way. Duration is dangerous right now.
All right, but if yields keep falling, the long treasury ETF could snap back hard. It's a contrarian bet.
Contrarian, sure, but I'm watching the dollar. The DXY fell on the deal, and none of the coverage today is seriously analyzing the dollar's next move. That's a gap.
Exactly. See, this is what I mean. EM equity optimism ignores that a dollar resurgence would kill the trade. The emerging markets ETF is near highs, but without a dollar view, it's a half-baked thesis.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
But South Korea just agreed with the US to cooperate on won weakness. That's a direct FX support. The South Korea ETF is up 6.4% on the week.
Sure, but that ETF is 19.6% above its 52-week low. Much of the recovery is priced. Plus, a lot of Korean exporters benefit from a weaker won, so a stronger won could hurt earnings.
Right, so the Korean cooperation might support the currency, but the equity story is more mixed. Not so fast on that Korean equities call.
Fair points. But overall, the market is telling us something. The recovery play has won. Equities up, oil down, cyclical commodities rallying.
Until the peace deal cracks. And given the last 10 deals, that's a real risk. Tom, you're all in on risk on, but the crypto cynicism is a live warning. Short-lived headlines reverse violently.
Yeah, and if Iran violations surface, oil spikes back, breaking the equity rally. The long Treasury ETF near lows is already pricing a hawkish Fed. A Warsh-led Fed could choke the rally.
All right, so we hedge. Gold is a cheap safe haven if the peace cracks. I'll take that. And we look to EM equities as beneficiaries of lower input costs.
Now you're talking. The emerging markets ETF is near highs, but still only up 0.6% last session. If the dollar stays weak, there's room.
And on the oil side, I'd be cautious shorting further. The Nikkei Asia piece is our most original take today. Energy prices may not normalize quickly. Instead of playing oil directly, maybe look at agricultural consumers.
So that's the second order trade. Fade the immediate oil sell-off. Buy things that benefit from cheaper inputs.
And don't forget the dollar. No one's watching it, but it's the linchpin.
All right, but let's bring it back to today's action. The broad takeaway, stocks cheer Iran deal. Oil knows better. That's the tension we're living in.
And hey, Gerald's buy call on investment-grade bonds is ticking higher. Prescient as always.
Fair enough. Slow grind, but I'll take it.
All right. As always, none of this is investment advice. Just three friends talking markets.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify. Or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. London time. See you then.